Song of invitation will be number 696. 696.
Amen. Thank you. You know, as we talk about life and the circumstances of life, and we look at life from the inner man standpoint, as we've tried to mention in the verses this morning from the Bible, we are mentioned about those particular things that we face in life from a different perspective. Because we're looking with the inner man at these things, we do not see the actual thing that's going on in front of us so much as we see beyond that. And the same thing is true of the subject of death. Death is mentioned a thousand times in the Old Testament and New Testament of the Bible. The word die and died and death and dead and so forth so on make up all those numbers of times. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, it is noted to you and me the following, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5. He says, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hatred, their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is under the sun. The dead know nothing under the sun." The idea of them being continually bothered and troubled by earthly activities of life, as we would be bothered by living here with pandemics like this going on, or for that fact, with troubles and difficulties when there are people shot by the dozens in Chicago every weekend. We read and we hear about all of that sort of thing going on. And that there are people who visit in the area of the South from that area, and they bring with them the idea of violence. And there are many shooting situations going on in our local areas too, from that influence up there. Those things would bother and belittle anyone, and they are shielded from it as they pass along from this earthly life to the life beyond. The dead do not know events under the sun to take place. It is the case that as we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come," talking about advanced years of life. The evil days. Evilness of sin, of course, is always there. But he's talking about particularly the context here about growing older in life. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." I don't enjoy getting older and getting more crepit. More problems and troubles with knees and so forth so on. And there are some pills that do help us out along the way. But still, that coming about to us. He says, "While the sun or light or the moon or the stars not be darkened, nor the clouds turn after the rain." He says, "In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders, our teeth, cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened, their sight becomes dark." Then he goes on to say about our lives, verse 6, "It's like the silver cord. It's like the golden bowl. It's like the pitcher broken at the fountain. It's like the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust, our bodies, return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." The idea of death is created here as a wonderful thing about life. We've lived as a silver cord, but it's been loosed. We've lived as a golden bowl, but it's been broken. Because death has come about, and we begin to return to the dust from which we were made in the beginning. Now, I know we don't look at our hands and our feet and our bodies, even in the shower or a bathtub, and get it all wet and everything. We don't look at it as mud or dust that's getting wet, but it is dust. It will go back to the dust as it was in the beginning. As the time of God's creation, exercise that work and that use. He then says, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. That which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of the assemblies, which are given for one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There are things that have been hidden away in people's homes, and loved ones have gone to the attic and begun to take a look. The judgment will be based upon what we've done, how we've lived, every work into judgment, with every secret thing. It will not be a secret anymore. Forgiveness will cleanse it. Forgiveness will forget it. Forgiveness will put it as far as the east is from the west. Don't live and die with a secret thing going on in your life. Be a person who cares enough about your soul and your eternity that Solomon in the long ago said that's what's going to happen. You will go before it. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Of course, our question mark comes up to be, what about us? What about our lives? Where are we going to be in this situation? In James chapter 2, as description is given about living faith and dead faith and so forth, he makes this statement about it and refers to the eternal side of the judgment time. In James chapter 2, beginning at verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I want to stop to say, that faith that saves us is a faith that's obedient to Him. When He's told us, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, I need to believe and be baptized and enjoy His promise. I don't need to just say, well, He said if I believe, that's all that's necessary. He said to Abraham, you believe and you're my friend because of it. But he was believing in the sense that it was wrought with his works. And because he was obedient with God's plan, he was now made righteous. And verse 23, and the scriptures were fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see how then, that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? As the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. also. When we find ourselves in life without the Spirit of life within us, without that eternal part of us made in the image of God, and our body dies, whether it's in an accident on a highway, whether it's an accident on a farm, whether it's in the old age of time and the heart gives up and stops, whether it is a situation that's ongoing with a virus and the lungs have the pneumonia to it, cannot breathe enough to live. The fact of the matter is, the Spirit, when it vacates the body is dead. And the Spirit has returned, Sodom had said, back to God who gave it. That's the idea. Relationships in this life are relationships that are beneficial to us as we go. Our Lord Jesus talked about this sort of situation when he talked about how marriage takes place. And the concern about marriage was brought up to Jesus to test him and try him. You remember they were saying that this man and this woman married, and there was a bunch of times went on. Now in the morning of the resurrection, whose wife will she now then be? This husband died, she married another man. This husband died, she married another. The third one died, and she married another man. On down the line, which one of them now will have her as a wife in eternity? And Jesus says, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in heaven, they are neither married nor given in marriage, but are as the angels. The relationship to one another here on earth is a wonderful thing. It's an idea that Johnny Cash would work a good song and work a country song that has been timeless in its years. Will the circle be unbroken? And one of the things that practicing guitar people and organists and so forth play on with the idea of the notes and arrangements to have it out is that song. Will the circle be unbroken? Will we know them as we knew them here on this earth? Jesus said no. It'll not be like earthly ties. It'll be not with earthly memories. The idea of us saying sometimes to people, well, when we get there, we'll ask the Lord about this or that here on earth. It may be of interest here and now to us, but it will not be an interest to us over there. We'll be there with something else on our mind than anything that happened or didn't happen here on this earth. We are blessed in that relationship with God to enjoy the fact that we are at His right hand. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 22, and at verse 12, I want to begin to close out our reading tonight on the subject of dying and death. In Revelation 22, beginning at verse 12, and I am behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, of the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He that testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The closing of the book, the closing of the Bible, has reference to quotations that are made back in the book of Deuteronomy and in the book of Proverbs, in the midst of the Bible. In the opening part, in the closing part, and in the middle part. Don't add to the words I say to you. Don't take from the words I say to you. If you add unto them, he sums it up right here and says, God will add unto you the plagues that are written in this book. These plagues are described as something we do not wish to be a part of. And if you will take away, he will take away your name, the honor that you have of the book of life. You'll be taken away from these things of a blessing. We in death want to be with God. We want to be with him, and we want to be where he is. Sometimes I heard an old preacher say one time when he was asked, what's heaven going to be like? And he said, it's like the puppy dog outside that is awaiting his master to open the door and tell him to come in. Wherever he is and what he wants me to be, where he wants me to be, is heaven. That's where I want to be. Isn't it true of us? We want to be where Jesus is, where he's taught us. What a blessing. It is noted in chapter 22 at verse 11, a verse I skipped in this. He says, He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. For he that is holy, let him be holy still. Whatever way of life we're living in this old world, as we leave here, we'll be then. I trust that righteousness and holiness is a part of our heart, just like it was a part of Paul's heart, Philippians 3 and 9. It's not by the righteousness of the law that I'm made right before God now. I choose the righteousness of God, which is in faith in Christ Jesus. I want to be a person of belief in him, and I want to obey what he has to say. Come as we stand together tonight and sing, if you're subject to Jesus' invitation.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us pray, let us breathe. 'Tis the fountain of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come, will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that is cleft, and no soul is
God bless y'all. We look forward to seeing you on Wednesday evening if possibly can, and be safe, of course, as you are throughout the week until that time comes. Okay? God bless. Heaven, sing that song of peace from the toils that by me it will bring relief. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing, so showers of great blessings for my heart will ever flow. Sing to me, oh heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of evening fall.
Sing to me of heaven,
sing the sweet song. She's going to go by way of the... Yeah.